This is Folkcast 022 for October 2007.
Chains out to bind him. His God's is this country, and will of the people's his name. A fearsome fill of drink might just get him talking. He's even suspected of lending a helping hand. A sad state of affairs, they say, once got him walking. And if it's fighting for rights, will of the people's your man. Come on, you strong, come on, you feeble, where can I find that will of the people? Come on, speak up now if you can, where can I find that man? Come on, you strong, come on, you feeble, where can I find that will of the people? Come on, speak up now if you can, where can I find that man? Where can I find that man? They say he once fought off an army that threatened to chain him. Threw false political prophets out on their ears. But when times got hard, there were too many too ready to blame him. And the next we knew, will of the people disappeared. Come on, you strong, come on, you feeble, where can I find that will of the people? Come on, speak up now if you can, where can I find that man? Come on, you strong, come on, where can I find that will of the people? Come on, speak up now if you can. Where can I find that man? Where can I find that man? The people come out from wherever you're hiding. If ever your country needed you, it is now. Your children are lost, they're hungry and barely surviving. There are whips in the hands of a handful they scrape to and bow. Come on, you strong, come on, you feeble, where can I find that will of the people? Come on and speak up now if you can. Where can I find that man? Come on, you're strong, come on, you're feeble. Where can I find that will?
Well, here we are again for our 22nd show. And they said it would never last.
Some said it mustn't last, but we've kept going anyway.
That's right, this is Folkcast, the UK's original folk podcast, pumping out folk rock, singer-songwriter and roots-based music on a monthly basis, all the year round as well. I'm your host, Ken Nicol.
And I'm your other host, Phil Widows. Welcome to the show. And we kicked off this month with a double bill of good things, courtesy of our friends at the Woven Wheat Whispers Folk Music Download Service. You've just heard the fabulous Jez Lowe with a track from his latest album, Jack Common's Anthem, and the song was Will of the People.
And before that, starting our show this month, was Kate Bramley and her self-penned song, Italian Boy in London. Kate has been part of Jez's band, The Bad Pennies, since the year 2000, and she sings and plays the fiddle parts too. The song comes from her terrific solo album, Little Canaan, I think that's how it's pronounced, which merges British, North American and New Zealand traditional music, producing a sound that is rooted in the music of the common people and their migration across the world.
Yeah, it's good stuff. You can download it today at the ridiculously cheap price of just £7 from Woven Wheat Whispers. Follow the link in our show notes, which can be found at folkcast.co.uk. And the title of that song, Italian Boy in London, sets the theme for this month's Folkcast, because my mate Ken here is regularly commuting to Italy these days to perform at festivals there. And this month he hooks up with his good friend Ernesto De Pasquale, who is highly influential on the music scene there, both as a musician and as a member of the media.
Yeah, and he's very talented and a great bloke too. He'll be talking to us about his music, discussing his Anglo-Italian project with Ashley Hutchins, and giving us a view of our kind of music from a continental perspective. That's all to come later. First, it's time to revisit a band that we first played on Folkcast on our fourth show, way back in April 2006. We told you then that they were set to make a new album, and now it's available at last. This is Songs from the Blue House, and from that album called Tree, this is Burrtown Road.
The graveyard's always full on Mother's Day. Driveway fills with leaves now. There's no one to sweep them away. And every absent son acts all surprised. The camouflage can just disguise the teardrops in their eyes. I'm left here with that ring she wore. You won't find me in the old house anymore. Some of us are harsh, some of us are wise, some of us are wrapped up baby tissues, words and lies. Photo albums never lie. Downloaded to your red eye, coldly stalinized. But look inside and you'll see the pain. From all the way out here, I guess I'm too numb to look again. Tell the truth, I guess I'm as guilty now as then. But I could not stay back and miss the boy I've been. Some of us are cruel, think we're being kind. And some of us just lucked out, baby, stone cold out of our mind. Hindsight comes with perfect vision. Are you telling me I made the wrong decision?
Prepared. set me free. Nothing, nothing, there's nothing in this whole wide world. Nothing could have prepared me for you. Nothing, nothing, there's nothing in this whole wide world. Nothing could have prepared. Red sky as the sun goes down. All the jewels and all the crowns, they pale against the things you say and do. The blackness of the darkest night, the frenzied glare of city lights, nothing could have prepared me.
Songs there from great British talents. First, East Anglian band Songs from the Blue House were singing Bear Town Road from their new album Tree, available directly from their website songsfromthebluehouse.com. And that was followed by singer-songwriter Marina Florence, who is also from East Anglia. And she was performing with Ken recently, wasn't she?
Well, that's right, yes. I had the privilege to play a show at a place called the High Barn, which is, it's a converted barn, a very old place, apparently 800 years old.
Mm.
You'd never guess, though. but it's a barn that's been converted into a live venue, and it also has a recording facility and video facilities as well.
Mm.
And I played a show there. Marina opened up for me that night, and I was incredibly impressed with her singing and also impressed with the guitar playing of Mick Kennedy. He accompanies her on the album, and he was there on the night when I played there as well. Very good guitar player. I should mention, actually, that she recorded the album at the High Barn, and Songs from the Blue House, they recorded their album at the same place.
Fantastic. Yeah, it sounds like a great facility. 800-year-old barn, you say?
Mm.
Such a shame they couldn't afford a new building. Anyway, as Marina's surname is Florence, it's appropriate that we go from her to a gentleman who's from Florence, the city in Italy, that is. Ernesto De Pasquale is a DJ, a musician, a record producer, a writer, and an actor. He's a great talent who deserves to be better known outside of his home country. So Ken cranked up the Skype phone connection between Preston and Florence to talk to him about his wide and varied career. But first, here's the man himself in action. This is Ernesto De Pasquale singing About a Girl.
I'd like to welcome to Folkcast someone who, in my opinion, is one of the great forces in the world of music. Record producer, TV and radio producer, songwriter, performer, DJ, musician, journalist, and even actor. The list goes on. His approach could be described as nothing less than multi-dimensional. Please welcome Ernesto Di Pasquale. Come stai?
I'm fine. Thank you very much for having me.
Welcome, Ernesto. So you have a new album completed called Manic Morning Music. But first, I'd be quite interested to know one or two things about all the years that have led up to this point. What actually was it that got you started in the business of music?
I started physically fell into the music business let's say by necessity, in my early 20s, when I was mostly a performer and an artist with bands, I felt the necessity to produce my music because I didn't found anybody around me able to understand my vision. I started listening to music very, very, very young. And mostly I started going out to concert. That was about when I was 10, 11 years old. So in my early 20s, my history in the music and local scene was quite interesting. I worked in a record store when I was 16 years old. So,
yes,
which led me to be an early public figure, work in the first independent free radio, as we said in the 70s. Yes. This is in Florence, in Tuscany, in Italy, which leads me to be now at the moment a senior voice in the radio world. So this necessity led me to develop by myself the art of producing, which I kept along professionally until today, as I did more than 60 albums, and in the 90s my company had many top 10 albums. So, and doing this, I left aside myself as a performer, as an artist. You can do too much at the same time.
Sure.
Or you can try. I think that most everything has to start with an attitude. This is a very important part of what I try to explain to younger generation. The attitude side of whatever we do in life will make our own things better for sure, and each one of us more confident.
It was in 82, wasn't it? 1982, they actually started your own radio show. How long did that show go on for?
I have a show called Il Popolo del Blues, which means the blues people, which is a national syndicated radio show, which is actually going for 14 years straight. Then I work on the national radio, national public service, like BBC in UK, RDT in Germany, Radio France, PBS in America. I've been working with the RAI, with the company, RAI, uh-huh. Joma, for exactly 28 years.
So RAI is a bit like, it's like our BBC, isn't it? It's a national
station.
28 years, yeah. Yeah, incredible. How long have we known each other, Ernesto? Probably 5 years, maybe?
5 years? Four years?
Maybe four or five years, yes. I'm amazed by the number of things that you've done, the number of things you get involved in. And about your work as a producer, you've been involved in so many different projects. Have you any idea how many albums you've actually produced?
I think I'm close to 70.
70 albums, yeah.
I have to say that in the mid-80s, I spent like 10 months a year in the studio. That was for a couple of years, then I completely stopped. I can't handle anymore because I had like 10 months in the studio and 3 months RAI, which make the year 13 months longer. The studio, for me, it's quite an experience on itself because it's like if you go to the Amazon, you walk, you go through music. You never know what it's going to be, mm-hmm. what is coming. Mm-hmm. If you go for something real unique, if you're looking for something special, you go for your own personal sound escape, something which can be very natural, which can be completely acoustic or electronic or just a sound of one instrument. Sure. In my opinion, music has to create a full ambient around you, even in the simplest song. If you are into that, if the performer is able to bring you in a certain world of any kind, mm-hmm. Well, you have reached probably what you were looking for.
Yes.
This is completely different from, I say again, from build a hit. That's another thing. Completely
yes.
other thing.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Maybe what you just described is something that I would see as a more Italian approach in a way. There's a passion maybe that I see in Italy that I haven't seen in other places. I mean, I think a lot of people would agree with that. Also, there's a very strong tradition over there of live music, of festivals. And, of course, you're involved in one or two festivals
yes.
as well, aren't you? People love their music.
People love live music. Let's say these people love the performer on stage. People want to share the event with the performer. So this is why live music in Italy is more as a bigger field than maybe any other country in Europe.
I've got to tell everyone that these festivals over there, some of them are just sensational. The setting, the countryside and everything is amazing.
Yes. From the hills, you can take a look at your country, no? At uh-huh. your area.
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
then the place, which is now a residential area, becomes for the 4-day, 3-day festival, a completely mix of people of different kind that share the same passion for music. And when I say for music, I say for every kind of music.
Don't say nothing for a while. Let the word speak for itself. Please just leave me standing here. I'll walk alone at home tonight. I'll walk on water and I'll walk on smoke. Then I discovered the life of nothing but a joke. And the rest can wait till morning comes. Drive me north of Camden Town, where the seeds of love lie down. Or turn next west to Ladbroke Grove, to the streets of glory once
are through. The dream is over, but the prime will last, 'cause the road I walk is the one of the best. While all the rest can wait till morning comes. While all the rest can wait till morning comes.
You know, as an outsider, I think the eclectic nature of the culture over there is really incredibly refreshing. And talking of cultures, I just want to ask you also about the project that you're involved with Ashley Hutchins, the Anglo-Italian project. At what stage is that now? Is that more or less completed?
We share this project called as a working name of Anglo-Italian project with Ashley Hutchins, bass player and founder of the magnificent Fiper Convention in the mid-60s. And this project started from our mutual interest in each other countries, and started from Ashley Hutchins' love for Italian football, and especially for my hometown team, Fiorentina. Which is a very important part of the project. If the Fiorentina team lose a game, we did not work. If a Fiorentina team won, we work better.
Well, I'm trying to equate that to what it's like here in Preston with Preston North End, our football team. Not quite the same.
No, but I have to say at this stage the album is quite ready. The album is very good because Fiorentina in the last 3 years really developed a fantastic team. So I would rather give all the kudos to the team and to Ken Nicol for his fantastic playing, composing and singing. So
thank you very much. Grazie.
So the album is ready. The album will have an English label at this moment. It's a label called Eclectic. This label works with artists, mostly progressive, folk progressive and whatever, but Barclay James Harvest, a very famous name in the 70s. And the president of the label, Mark Powell, is a music consultant for big label like Universal, EMI, CBS. His knowledge of this kind of music is very strong. I think that the album will be very, very soon in the stores, and the Eclectic label is on Cherry Red, a famous name in the independent music in UK.
Yeah. Well, it's a very, very interesting project, certainly from what I've heard.
It's a very challenging project. It's not the usual thing, let me say that.
No,
and
no.
I'm mostly happy because being this totally live music, acoustic music, live I mean, played, no computer, no nothing. Uh-huh. And it doesn't fear the stress of time. This music will last forever. The songs are good. It can be out now, today, or tomorrow.
It's timeless. Just before we talk about Manic Morning Music, you just mentioned a whole string of names like Barclay James Harvest and Caravan. Something else I've been very struck by in Italy is the interest in Western music, in progressive rock, and also in traditional English music. Now, why, as a journalist, you must have an opinion on this, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? More so than many other countries.
Yes, I understand the question. Progressive rock of the early 70s found a very open market in Italy for a simple reason. Being a mix of rock music and classical music, it catched the interest of a generation growing up in the 70s that was mostly committed to classical music, even through personal study. It really connected, because it has a sense of epicity, if the term is right. It is epic, okay?
Oh, yes, yeah.
I don't know if you say epicity, epicità.
It sounds good, epicità, okay.
Epicità, is that epicity, no?
Yeah.
So this sense of something big, this sense of something classic, but with the rock and roll push from behind, it really makes the melody absolutely European. It has nothing to do with rock and roll and nothing to do with America, even if it passes through sometimes. It can be blues language, which is very simple. Even in progressive, there are many blues licks coming up and down. Or even a rhythm and blues rhythmic section that they try to play like a black man behind Pavarotti, no? So the young Italians had the vision, because we have to remember that we are speaking of early 70s when we had no video. We bought album from the cover, and many, many times the cover were just artworks. They were just drawings, you know? Or just ideas, like a great name like Hypnosis, Whitehead, that was the designer for Charisma Records, for the Genesis Van de Graaff Generator. Yes. Fantastic. Or early King Crimson, you know, you have this face that it's shouting at the world, you know.
Yes.
And it's the 21st century schizoid man.
You have
a whole world of imagination.
Yes.
And I think if you come from the outskirts of the Western Empire, like Italy in part is, that made big impression. I was absolutely happy when I bought an album, when I was a kid, bought an album that I did not know, and I did that very often, and I suggest everybody to do that. Buy something you don't know, and you will be an happy man, and discover that the album was great.
Yes, yes. Yeah, things have changed a bit since then, haven't they, I suppose?
That's the reason why on Morning Manic Music, that is... on the cover, there's not my face, as it usually is for CD. So you have a big face on the cover because the cover is small.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a section of my LP collection that slowly slide into the sky.
Yes, yes, yes. It is a striking picture, actually. And this, we should talk about this album right now, Morning Manic Music, the latest CD from Ernesto. Does it have an official release date?
Yeah, the official release date is October 3rd, and the distributor is called Materiali Sonori. They have a website, and these distributors are a good friend of mine for the last 30 years, so I'm very happy, because I know exactly who get the money and how do they work, which is... important for me at this stage, because today that the music industry is so small, I think you must keep tracks of the things going more than ever.
Yeah, I personally love the album. Of course, I've heard it a number of times.
Thank you.
I'm even on it, I know. But for me, what stands out so much are the number of, I guess you could say, the textures, the number of influences on there, I suppose. The melody and the harmony stand out in a way that's reminiscent of really my favourite era of songwriting, you know, like the Cole Porter era and everything, where you have very evolved chord sequences, maybe even jazzy at times, but with very striking and memorable melodies and stories as well.
Yes. Let's say that I want to make clear in this album which is my reference decade, mm-hmm. Which is the years when you grow up musically and sentimentally in a certain direction, okay? 70s were my sentimental music education, no?
Mm-hmm.
And I did not want to hide myself behind fashion styles of music. I can do everything I want in the studio, not because I'm good, but because I know the skill. So I want to do something that stay as much as long as possible and that is possible to listen to it again in 10 years without much difference. When I start the recording, I said that I want for this to sound good as today as in 10 years. I hope so, at least. Absolutely.
I mean, the way I think about it is that, if it has depth to it, then it does have an element of timelessness as well, you know. Some of the influences for the song, some of the ideas for the song, I mean, I know directly where one came from, because we took a trip to Blackpool, didn't we? There's a track called Blackpool Babylon. You see, what happens is, well, if I go to Italy, he takes me to see the beautiful Tuscan hills and the medieval villages. And when he comes here, I take him to Blackpool. I don't know if you could think of that as a first swap, yeah, or what.
Yeah, that was quite an experience. But for those who listen to the forecast, let me say that Ken Nicol, the evening before we went to Blackpool, was totally clear about that, and he say he was gonna live an experience which is not similar to the one he made me live to Italy. So keep it as it is, and I said, okay. If it is an experience, it will bring to something. And then I discovered a completely world on its own. You know, it's a world on its own. It's a Blackpool Bobby.
Blackpool people love to be known. Watch the world through telescopes. Love to dance. Swiss soul music, DJ playing. And it's only 13 miles up away from where we belong. 13 miles of expectation. Oh, I feel the same old song. Boomers, they all look splendid, and bang big guns, black bull babies, bongo banging, they're all demanding, the big band swing. Unwashed. Here he comes, waiting for the final sound to bring a story to be told. Blackpool Babylon, bingo boomers, the long was splendid, and then they gone.
Blackpool Babylon, in my opinion, had to have the singability of a Van Morrison song. Okay, that was my idea. Then somebody wrote a review telling me that it sounded like Prince Raspberry Beret.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm not...
Which is
Not familiar.
Yeah, which is a bigger compliment. I love mm-hmm. Prince so, but it never entered my mind. That's the beautiful part of the music.
And you also, people can hear one of the tracks. I think it's About a Girl. The track's called About a Girl, and that's on MySpace, isn't it?
Yes. It's on, if you go to MySpace TV, there is a visualization of this song, About a Girl and a Boy, which is a very special song because it's a song about a meeting of two people, a girl and a boy, coming from two different generations. Mm-hmm. In today's world, it's quite difficult that people from different generations can meet each other, if not at school, for instance, when a teacher and the pupils. But this is a meeting that generates something unexpected. And I want to try to explain this feeling that in the world, you can you have to be open to any kind of new person, to new occasion, new opportunity. Don't sure. close your eyes. Don't close your heart. Let the thing happens the way they are and behave accordingly to yourself.
Yes. Well, that's an ethos, isn't it, that we could apply to the whole of life, I think, and
I'm not as philosophical as it seems.
Absolutely not. It's more. I think of it as more of a pragmatic approach than anything else. You will get so much from doing that, I think. Just before you go, you've got quite a few launch events, haven't you, around Italy, where you're going to promote the album?
Yes, if you go to myspace.com/morningmanicmusic, just one word, you will see there is a section dedicated to all the showcases where we will present the album in acoustic form with some videos that young video maker are working at the moment. They will be mostly in a bookshop or a Florentine British Institute in Rome, as in Milan. And it's an occasion to meet me and an occasion to speak with me. It's an occasion of speaking about us, it's the popolo del blues, the way we are, what is Italy now, where we are, what is happening, the politics of Italy. I can speak of everything. I'm not close to any kind of interest. The album is just an occasion to get together, I hope, with new people and new friends, and if the things will be of any kind of interest, we will try to bring Ken Nicol and the full forecast directly from Preston to Italy on tour.
Well, we're packing our bags as you speak.
Including the forecast.
Okay. All of us, the whole entourage. But just give me a list of some of the cities you're going to be going to.
Yes, we start in Firenze on October 20th in a big festival of creativity. Mm-hmm. Then we keep doing in Città della Pieve, which is a beautiful medieval town on the lake of Trasimeno in Umbria. Fantastic, gorgeous place in a 15th century old mansion, which was actually the house of the local lord, Palazzo della Cornia, Città della Pieve. It's a place that I suggest everybody from England to go there and visit as a vacation. It's fantastic on the Lake Trasimeno in Umbria. Mm-hmm. That's between Firenze and Roma. Then we go to Premio Ciampi in Livorno, an important award dedicated to one of the most important Italian singer-songwriter of the 60s. And then we go ahead On November, we will do that at the Teatro del Sale. Teatro del Sale is a place that Ken Nichol know very well.
Beautiful place.
He's a top three artist at Teatro del Sale. Ken Nichol is one of the most loved musician ever played in this fantastic little private club in the heart of Firenze. Mm-hmm. Then on November 19, we go to Florentine British Institute in the beautiful Palazzo Guicciardini on the River Arno. The British Institute of Firenze, for those who want to know, has the most important library of English books outside UK.
Oh, wow. Wow. Fantastic, yeah. And here I am in Preston. Okay. And it's raining.
And here it's full summer. It's about 27 degrees at the moment.
Really? Fantastic. Well, there you have it, Ernesto's new album, Morning Manic Music. It's been great talking to you, Ernesto. Thank you very much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. I'm really honored to be part of your podcast.
Molto grazie. Ciao.
Why don't you let me in? For another while, why don't you let me in? Till the end of time, there's gonna be the next searching. Time. With the feet on the ground and the head in the clouds, but a party's not here. And when the room is empty, we'll be staring at each other. But only one will know the way to go away from here. I'm only playing the game that no one else is playing. Lose your sense, but you can't hide away from life. A smile turns into a tear, and the whole world seems to be fading.
I'm only playing the game that no one else is playing. While the world is playing a game, nobody wins. I'm only playing the game.
Well, something a little bit different there for a folkcast, but just to show that there's great music being made all over the world that you may not be aware of, that interview with Ernesto will hopefully make you go out and search the web for more of his stuff. And listening to the music there, you'll have heard the backing vocals of a long-time collaborator with Ernesto, and that's Paolo Giorgi, who was in a band with Ernesto called Lightshine way back in the early 80s. We thought we'd continue the Italian theme with a song from Paolo himself now. This is called The Postman.
I'm walking up and down, rain or shine. No one else around, for miles and miles. But I don't feel alone. Joy. Chill. children have their share with Christmas toys. Some will not reply, 'cause words have cut his voice, and I cannot read nor even write, but I don't have no choice. Fields of green and trees, climbing up hills and rocks and peaks, breathing upper winds, smelling of flowers in the breeze. That's why I love my job more and more each day.
Down by yon green bushes, near Calder's clear stream, where me and my Annie so often had been, with the hours that flew past us, bright happy were we. Was little she thought that a soldier I'd be. So it's farewell to Annie, and I must away. For the king, he needs soldiers, and I must obey. But if Providence proves kind, love, until I return, I will wed with my Annie near Calder's clear burn. On the 14th of August, our regiment was lost, and a ball from the enemy our lines came across. Oh, it struck me in the temple, and the blood trickled down. I kneeled and I staggered, and I fell to the ground. Come here, says our captain, come here with great speed, for I fear by this bullet young Dinsmore lies dead. Two men with a stretcher did quickly appear, and they carried me away to a hospital bed. Cold water and brandy they poured out so free, and they turned me all over, my wounds for to see. But if I had my Annie, mind of my wounds. One kiss from her sweet lips would soon deaden the stone. Now I'm wet and weary and think on Lang Syne. And when I was a miner and I worked in a mine, oh, the tears they do trickle and down they do fall, like the roses that bloom round Bonnywood Hall.
Well, we certainly clock up the miles on Folkcast. From St John's in Newfoundland, that was Mike Hanrahan with the traditional Irish song, Bonnie Woodhall, a song that's featured in the repertoire of artists including Martin Carthy, Niamh Parsons and Andy Irvine.
OK, time to return back to Blighty once more and check in with our resident folk guru, Baba, who is ready to take us up the servant stair and get us all the gossip on a stalwart of the English folk scene, a certain Lord Marlborough. This is the story behind the song. Take it away, Baba.
Hi, Baba here with the story behind a song that was requested by Folkcast listener Michael Hunter, who wrote to us from Australia saying, how about Lord Marlborough? I bet there's a story behind that. Yeah, you said it, Michael. Winston Churchill, a descendant of Lord Marlborough, wrote a biography of the man who, in the view of the Duke of Wellington and many others, was the greatest British commander in history. And that biography runs to 4 volumes. I've got about 10 minutes, and there's a song to be fitted in too. So, pin back your lugholes, because this is a race through the life of John Churchill. He was born in 1650 to a family that was impoverished due to his father Winston's fighting for the losing side in the English Civil War, and he was forced to pay a massive fine. However, with the restoration of the throne to Charles II, John secured a position at court as page to James, the then Duke of York. The Duke was keen on the military and the navy, and he inspired a 17-year-old John Churchill to take a commission. Promotion in the army came swiftly, and in 1673, at the Siege of Maastricht, he saved the Duke of Monmouth's life, and he gained a reputation for exceptional courage in the process. In 1677, he married, and he was given a diplomatic mission by King Charles II to negotiate a treaty with the Dutch and the Spanish in preparation for war with France. Now, this was a great success, and it brought him to the attention of Dutch aristocrat William of Orange. Now, William would play a large part in John's future. Returning to England, John was appointed temporary Brigadier General. Now, that's not bad for a man still under 30 years old. The first of John Churchill's falls from grace, though, was just around the corner. He was living through tempestuous times when religion, Catholic versus Protestant, played a vital role in European politics, and Protestant Churchill's own fortunes were bound up in that for years to come. Over the next decade, he was banished, returned, he was made a lord, he fought against a peasants' revolution, he was promoted, he was made a baron, he switched sides, and ended up fighting for William of Orange against the English king, the Catholic James I. When James fled to France, the crown was William's, and at his coronation in 1689, William honoured John Churchill with the title Earl of Marlborough and appointed him Commander-in-Chief of the King's forces in England. However, canny Churchill tried to keep his options open and attempted to curry favour with the exiled King James, just in case he was restored to the English throne. Unfortunately for Churchill, King William found out about his correspondence with King James, and in 1692 Churchill was effectively sacked. William stripped him of all his civil and military posts and offices, and he told him not to show himself at court. But even worse was to come, and John's fortunes were about to fall to an all-time low. But before that, how about the song? Here's Rachel and John Bowyer. Churchill, once commander of the entire English army and holder of the title Earl of Marlborough, has lost his command and his position at court. Rumours of a Jacobite invasion are rife. Nobody is sure whether the former King James is going to make an attempt to regain the throne. And at court, one Robert Young is making allegations of a plot against the crown. He has letters that call for the restoration of James and the seizing of King William. And one of them is signed by John Churchill, who is arrested, charged with treason, and imprisoned in the Tower of London. Now, Young's letters were all forgeries, but obviously it took time to prove this. Churchill was eventually released, but this close shave didn't stop him from continuing his correspondence with James in France. In 1696, Churchill was again implicated in a treasonous plot, and again it was a complete fabrication. But proving that marked a turning point, and Churchill's star once again began to rise. He was made governor to the Duke of Gloucester, and his military rank was restored. Then, on the 8th of March 1702, King William died following a riding accident, and Queen Anne ascended to the throne. She chose to reward Marlborough for his diplomatic and martial skills and made him the Master General of the Ordnance, a Knight of the Garter, and Captain General of all her armies at home and abroad. Churchill's wife, Sarah, became Anne's Mistress of the Robes and Keeper of the Privy Purse. Lord and Lady Marlborough enjoyed a joint income of over £60,000 and unrivalled influence at court. Lord Marlborough led England's forces into war against France and Spain and was further ennobled, becoming a duke. Forces under his command captured many cities and towns and inflicted a crushing defeat on the French at the Battle of Blenheim. Churchill's reputation as the finest general in Europe was confirmed again and again. A grateful Queen Anne presented Churchill with the Manor of Woodstock near Oxford and promised to build him a great palace there. He returned to England in 1711 and was cheered by crowds on his way back to London, but his military career was nearly over. Unknown to Churchill, peace negotiations were being held with France, and the war ended in December 1711. Queen Anne informed him that his services as Captain General were no longer required. At the same time, her friendship with Lady Marlborough had broken down completely. So the Marlboroughs left England for an extensive tour of the continent. They returned 21 months later. On landing at Dover, they were told that Queen Anne had died the day before and that George of Hanover was now king. Churchill had fought alongside George in the past. They knew each other well. The Duke and the Duchess proceeded to London with all speed, and the new king restored all of Churchill's appointments and military rank. The Duke of Marlborough once again became a powerful person. His health, though, was beginning to desert him. He suffered two strokes in 1716 and took little part in affairs at court, preferring to oversee the construction of his grand house on the Woodstock estate, Blenheim Palace. He and the Duchess moved into the first wing to be completed in 1719, but he had only a few years to enjoy it. In 1722, John Churchill, 1st Duke of Marlborough, died of a massive stroke. Many historians regard him as England's greatest military commander. That he led the most extraordinary life goes without saying. Summed up, I think, by his family motto, still in use by the Churchill family today. Faithful, but unfortunate. So there you go, Michael. Four volumes of biography condensed into, 7 minutes 26 seconds. And I'm away for a lay down. I'll be back next month with something much simpler. So until then, fare thee well.
That's just about it for another month. We'd like to thank all those who helped us to bring you the music. That's the Podsafe Music Network, Woven Wheat Whispers, and the artists who got in touch with us directly. Full details of how you can do that can be found at the Folkcast website. That's folkcast.co.uk, as can full details of all the music we've played this month and every month. Please support the artists we feature on Folkcast, and if you haven't heard your favourite yet, contact them to contact us, and we'll try to get them on a future show.
Grazie also to Ernesto and to Baba for the story behind the song of Lord Marlborough, performed by John and Rachel Bowyer. And finally, thanks to you for listening to Folkcast. If you have any comments on the show or news of bands, festivals, gigs or records you'd just like to pass on to the rest of the worldwide Folkcast audience, get in touch with us via email to contact@folkcast.co.uk.
Yeah, we really do appreciate all the feedback we get, so please get to the website and check out the various goodies there. And remember to subscribe to Folkcast so we can stick our fingers effortlessly in your ear every month without you having to do a thing. It's free, and again, full details of how to do it are at folkcast.co.uk.
We'll be back with another collection of great stuff from the worlds of folk rock, singer-songwriter and rootsy-type stuff on the first Saturday in November. And we'll leave you this month with Three Daft Monkeys, a band who have made quite an impact on the festival scene this summer. They have a new album, Social Vertigo, coming out soon, and from that album comes this song, Go Tell the Bees.
So, until next time, I've been Phil Widows.
And I've been Ken Nicol.
And this has been Folkcast 022. So, until November, bye-bye.
Can we bathe in your oceans? Climb your mountains high. Wash in your summer rain, stare into your sky, stare into your sky. Swim into your valleys and wonder at the trees.